Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the.
The Unknown Radio Network, consisting of the very best selection of paranormal internet radio shows anywhere on the web. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Unknown Radio Network.
Welcome to Terrify Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Kevin, with Unknown Paranormal. And joining me, as always, is Miss Jody Parks. How are you doing, Jody?
Good. How are you?
I am good.
Yes.
It's very hot down here in Texas.
Yeah?
Yeah. I know that up in your state, there's a lot of people dealing with flooding.
Yeah, I actually was out at the Mississippi last week. I have people out there that have farms and stuff like that. And, yeah, the Mississippi is very high. And that storm that came through, a couple of them last week, was not helpful.
Yeah.
But, you know, as long as nothing breaks, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We had a lot of bad tornadoes.
Yeah, no, I hit you up and I hit my best friend that lives on the northwest side, and he was actually at work, and there was, I think he said the final count was they had 3 tornadoes that touched down in the area at some point. And so, yeah, it was pretty crazy. Then I saw tonight on the news that the tornado in El Reno, they upgraded it from an E3 to an E5, that it's the widest tornado on record. It was 2.6 miles wide. And some of the storm chasers recorded winds in the excess of over 300 miles an hour. But luckily,
wow,
it hit out in the rural area in Oklahoma. If that would have hit a town, just to give you an idea, the tornado that hit more, the E5, was the winds were 210 miles an hour. And we saw on the news what it did to that town. So imagine 300-mile-an-hour winds and being 2.5 miles wide. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I saw somewhere on Facebook that a father and son died. They were storm chasers.
Yeah.
So they just disappeared. So...
Yeah. Well, storm chasing is very, very dangerous. In fact, one of my good friends that a lot of people know, Jeremy Jones, who runs Texas Paranormal Investigations and Paranologies, builds all those nice pieces of equipment. He's also a storm chaser here in Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's actually got his vehicles all decked out with monitors and all kinds of crazy stuff to monitor storms and wind speeds and all that crazy. So, yeah, I don't know if I would do that.
Wow.
But yeah, you know, going to go in a couple of weeks. My group, we got a couple people that want to join. In fact, one of them, I've been wanting him to join ever since I started the group. He was a teammate of mine on the other paranormal team that I was a part of before Unknown, and him and his girlfriend want to join. So they're going to take us to a place we haven't been here in East Texas. It's out in the country, of course, but there's a cemetery, and behind the cemetery, out in the woods a little bit, is what folklore say, a witch's grave, and supposedly people have tried to deface it and whatnot, or they've removed the headstone, but it always seems to return. So, and a lot of people say it's haunted out there, so we're going to go on a little ghost hunt and check this place out. So
that'll be awesome.
Yeah, we got to do that. And then June 22nd, 23rd, I'll be in Shreveport, Louisiana for a conference in Bilbo with Dakota Lawrence and Jeremy Jones, a couple other people from Texas. And mainly a lot of the folks are from the Louisiana area, so Shonda, myself, and Dad will be there helping run some investigations, so that'll be cool. And then next month, I'm really excited because we're going to Hillhouse Manor, and that place is freaking haunted, crazy haunted, and we've been there twice, and we've gotten almost 100 EVPs every time we've gone. And So we're not going because, oh, we want to collect evidence, you know, of spirit activity. No. We're going, and I'm going to give the team, my team, experiments to do. We're going to do a lot of experimenting, and Jeremy's going to bring all his toys, all his cool pieces of equipment that he builds, and he's going to use that to monitor everything while we do our experiments, and we're going to see what kind of results we get.
No, that's awesome.
So, yeah, cool things coming up. Anything been going on in your, in Jody world?
No. You know.
Are the kids out of school?
Yes, but they go to like you know, a camp thing where they do like field trips and stuff like that. So they're pretty excited.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, gotta keep them busy, you know.
Yeah.
Gotta keep them busy, but I'll be doing stuff with them too.
Oh, by the way, for anybody out there, don't fall for the little hoax that came on the internet today. One of my coworkers today told me that his wife said that Adam Sandler had died today. And I was like, what? No way. So I was typing it in, and sure enough, this website popped up and gave like details of how he passed away and whatnot. Well, right before I came on the show, I was like, why? Because I watched CNN, nothing on CNN. Of course, if anything happens in the news, it'll be on Facebook. You're damn sure for sure of that. And nothing's been mentioned about it. So then I did some more research, and, yeah, this website is set up as a hoax for different things. Yeah. So, yeah, folks, he's still alive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, I did do something today. I got my test and booked to join MUFON.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. So, you know, because I do those meetings, and it's like I don't do the actual field part. I just go to the meetings and listen to the stories and stuff, and so you have to, you know, take the test to become a member to be able to actually go out in the field. So I'll be able to work with the, like, chief director or whatever in the area. And if there's any sightings or cases in the area, I'll actually get to go and check it out.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I've been working on bookings for this show and my Sunday show. And just so you know, I've messaged 3 to 4 people that are in the UFO field that actually have their own UFO type radio shows out there, and no response yet.
Oh, wow.
So I'm trying.
We're
I'm trying to get us some UFO folks. Still working on that.
Yeah,
so.
I'm not too worried about it. I got people.
Well,
but,
I've got some other people. I've got some really cool guests booked for us coming up.
Yeah.
In fact, before our guest that we have tonight, we bring him on. Next Tuesday we have one of your good friends, Megan Campbell, will be on the show. And the following Tuesday we'll have Scott Grinwald on the show. So that should be very entertaining.
That is going to be nutty. That is going to be nutty.
Yeah. And then the 25th we'll be celebrating and doing a special broadcast right here. With every member or every host and co-host of the network, it's Terrify's 1 year birthday and the birthday of when I started Unknown Radio Network. So We're going to have all the hosts and co-hosts on the show, plus a lot of special guests call in. So we're going to have a lot of fun this month, Jody. And I believe our guest for tonight is on hold, so I'm going to read about him. So we're going to have fun tonight as well. Tonight our guest is Chris Vickers. He's a paranormal investigator. Chris is co-host of Misguided Souls radio show on ztalkradio.com and co-founder lead investigator with Shadows of the Paranormal out of Long Island, New York. Chris has worked alongside many people in the paranormal community, such as Aaron Houdini, Lorraine Warren, John Brightman, Carl Johnson, and many others. This whole list here. He was featured on my Ghost Story episode 23 when he talked about one of his most interesting urban legend investigations. Chris has been investigating the paranormal field for the past 3 years. He used his knowledge of science blended with spiritual side to investigate claims given. With hundreds of investigations under his belt, Chris searches for the answers to what may lie beyond life. And let's get him on. Wow, we got two callers here. Start here. Hang on a sec, Debbie. I'll be right back. Mm-hmm. All right, Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
How are you doing tonight?
Not a problem.
Can't complain. Keeping busy, doing well. How about yourselves?
Doing good.
Yeah, been pretty busy. I got four residential cases all going on at the same time, it seems like.
That's how it works right now. Yeah, I definitely understand you. That's how it normally works out. It's like you'll have a little bit of a lull, and then all of a sudden you get case after case after case all at once.
Yeah, they you know, we haven't had a residential in a couple months, and then all of a sudden, within a week, they all call me at the same time, you know, within days.
That's good, though. At least you guys are keeping busy and, you know, doing that as well.
Hang on a second here. Got a caller here. Matt, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you guys doing?
Doing good. This is Matt with Full Spectrum Radio on our network.
Hey, Matt, how are you? Yes, I do tomorrow nights. Hey, I just want to give an update, Chris. I'm not going to cut into too much of your time. So, if anybody had seen, Kevin, I know you'll like this, that viral photo, or what turned into viral, that you went or posted and started running around about rent a ghost hunter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked to him.
Really?
I talked to him a couple times yesterday, and trying to get him on. It's not going to be tomorrow, but it's going to be probably the following week. So, get him on, let him speak his piece, and you know, figure out what's going on from there. So, I figured that you get a kick out of that. I'm going to get him on either. I don't know if it's going to be Into the Darkness on next Monday, or it's going to be Full Spectrum on Wednesday. So. That'll definitely be an interesting show.
Yeah, I'll definitely be listening to that.
Hey, and I've been telling everybody, be nice. Nobody knows what's going on. We got to hear the guy out. So, funny thing, though, because of that photo, he was contacted by a woman in Cook County, which is like the Chicago and the surrounding area, requesting help, and he forwarded the information on to me. So I contacted, I just left her a message a little bit ago about her home, so we'll see if that's actually a legit lead that comes back on that.
Right.
But, yeah, so just wanted to let you guys know that. Jody, good to have you back. Takes a little bit off of me.
How long was I gone?
What was it? It was 1 week, 2 weeks, and then 1 week, or then 1 week. So, yeah. No, I'm just talking about the tonight being back on, as I did last week with Kevin. So.
Right.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, so I just want to say have a great show, and Kevin, I thought you'd definitely like that information. So.
Okay.
Thanks,
all right,
man.
Have a good night, guys. Bye.
Yeah, just to give you a little insight, Chris, I'm not going to go into detail because I've already told everybody that we had this big discussion on Facebook the other day about it. A particular team had posted a picture with on the back of their vehicle saying,
the rent
you know,
that goes on there.
Huh?
The rent that goes on there? I saw that photo.
Yeah, exactly. So, it kind of ruffled some feathers, including mine, considering all the time and effort and endless cash that I put in from my 9-to-5 or my 8-to-5 job. And, yeah. So,
I definitely understand that as well.
Yeah, Matt's going to try to get them on the show and find out what the deal is with them. You know, and like I told Matt, my personal opinion on all that is, whether they're legitimate and they're out for the greater good of the people out there, they kind of give a bad stamp to the rest of us that are doing it completely free and are legitimately trying to help people and not try to make a profit, you know, with clients.
100% agree.
So that's 100%. The wrap on that. So, Chris, what got you started in the paranormal?
There's a whole bunch of different factors that actually led me to the paranormal. I grew up in a town. I live on Long Island in New York, and the town that I grew up in was called Central Islip. Not even a mile from my house was a psych center, and when I was a kid, it was fully closed down. But I remember being, you know, 10, 12 years old, 14 years old, and the buildings, some of them were just newly, basically just like people just left them. It was almost within the past year or two. So when we were going to these buildings, a lot of stuff was still intact. There was still files and paperwork and this and that. I used to just go check them out because they were just the abandoned buildings in town, and all the kids used to just, like, go in there and hang out and whatever. And I remember just, like, looking at these buildings thinking, like, what was this? Because I didn't know, and it's not like our teachers back then said, like, oh, this was a psychiatric center. I remember going in one day with probably four or five of my friends, and I get home later that night, and I realize I don't have my wallet on. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. So I call up two of my friends, and I'm like, listen, I think I dropped my wallet in the building. And it was probably like 8 o'clock at night. It wasn't too late, but it was starting to get dark. And I remember my friend Mike saying, like, listen, like, let's just go back there. And I get to his house, and his mom's like, no, you're not going out. So he didn't tell his mom what we were going to do. So I took a flashlight, went to the psych center to look for my wallet. Back then, you really don't think about these things. You kind of look back on it, and now you're like, wow, I was an idiot. Needless to say, I didn't find my wallet, and I ended up finding it outside of my house. So I didn't even have it when I went to the building. I just heard, you know, some, like, weird noises and stuff like that. And then, you know, when I was a kid, I remember having this one dream that this guy was, like, talking to me, and I could physically have a conversation with him. And numerous things in my house were going, like, just weird. I would see things, and I was a kid, so I was like, well, you know, let's imagine it. Friends, and, you know, I never really thought about it too much then. But looking back on it now, it's like, what was I communicating with? Was it something as a child that you just manifest, or could it be something else? So it was kind of that kind of journey. I was interested in a lot of, like, history and stuff like that, and then let me see what was there and figure out if there is anything in these locations. So that's kind of what brought me to it.
Nice. Yeah, it's always... You know, we all have our own personal reasons of why we get into the paranormal. You know, mine was I saw the shows and I was like, okay, I don't believe what they're doing is real. That, you know, that was my skeptical side. So I was like, well, I want to get involved in this because I want to experience and see it for myself, right, to know if it's actually real. So that's why I got into it. And, of course, Jody, she got into it because of her son, is sensitive. So, you know, we all have our reasons of getting in.
Yeah.
It's interesting how that happens.
You said you started investigating about 3 years ago. So, like, what came along that, like, made you actually start getting into the field?
What it honestly was is, you know, I kind of, like, always thought about that, and those different thoughts rose in the back of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I started picking up photography, and I wanted to be a photographer. I'm like, you know what? I wanted to get myself a nice, you know, DSLR camera. And, you know, living on Long Island, there's a lot of history here, but a lot of people don't know about it because Long Island, me and Jeff Belanger were having a conversation one day, and we kind of, like, dumped Long Island, like, the cul-de-sac of the United States, like, not something people just drive to. They have to be going to Long Island. They have to take a bridge or a ferry to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I ended up getting this camera, and I decided that I wanted to do what I call forgotten photography. These roadside places, there's so many, especially growing up at the psych center by my house, there's so many buildings or cemeteries or just national landmarks or whatnot that people drive past every day. You may live near one, and you don't even know what it is, or some people just don't even realize that it's there. So I started checking out different websites, and one of the biggest was LongIslandOddities.com. And there was so much history, and I'm like, I got to go check this place out. So I would, you know, every day that I had off work, I'd come up with one or two places that I wanted to just check out and take photos of. And just kind of visit it for the historical significance, take some photos, and just, like, kind of see what it was about. And then I realized there was a group on Long Island that were paranormal investigators, and they looked like they were having fun, and I had an interest, and then that's kind of what sparked, like, more of, like, the memories of, like, when I was a child. And I was just like, you know what, like, I always wondered what it is. Maybe I could try and find out. Maybe I could figure out what I was talking to as a child. What were, you know, what happened in those buildings, and, you know, is there anything lingering around? Because there were homeless people in those buildings that they wouldn't go to certain sections, and, like, there were, you know, different interviews with all these town officials that when they were looking at the buildings to demolish them, they kind of felt like they didn't want to go to certain areas of these buildings, and they just felt weird about it. So I was like, you know, what's in these things? So with the photography and everything, I decided I was going to join a paranormal team. And it was like a shot in the dark, and I was like, I'm probably not going to get it. And they ended up calling me back, and they're like, listen, we want you to join our team. So I ended up joining their team and started investigating.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
You know, and I've noticed this with a lot of people in our field. We join that initial team, and this is not for everybody, but a lot of us, we join a team, And then later on, we decided to branch off and start our own, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that a lot with a lot of people.
I was going to say, that's one of the biggest things because, you know, I mean, obviously, we all know people who have gotten into the paranormal field, and, you know, we don't know why they get into it. Some people get in for the right reasons, some get into for the wrong reasons, but some people expect things to happen so quickly. But, you know, a lot of people do join the team, and like you said, ended up later on branching out, starting their own group, and just using that initial group as like a stepping stone, getting your basic general knowledge, and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, taking it from there and taking that next step. And that's what I ended up doing. Actually, with all of my whole team, Shadows of the Paranormal, we were all members of a group. And after a while, we just decided, like, the time was right, and we tried having talks with them, and we're like, you know what? We feel like we're kind of being held back, so let's start our own thing. Let's try and branch out from there.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly where my team came about, because 75% of my team, we were all part of another team, and we didn't like the direction it was going because the people in charge were looking for fame, fortune. They were looking for that holy grail of evidence, right? And I knew that I needed to get out of the team when we drove 6 hours to, I don't know how this lady found us, but she was up in Oklahoma, and we drove up there to help her. And this is when I hardly had any knowledge of evil entities and you know, the darker side of the paranormal, and some really crazy things happened, and we weren't able to help her the first time. So we went back a second time, and the second time, a couple of us were actually trying to try to do something, right? Try to get whatever is there out of there. Of course, we didn't have a lot of knowledge, like I said, but when we were trying to do that, we were reading scriptures from the Bible and whatever we thought we were doing that was right. And our person in charge told us to stop because he wanted to provoke some more and get more evidence. And I'm sitting here going, okay, we're provoking something in this person's home, and we're going to hop in our vehicles and drive 6 hours back home, and they're stuck with whatever we've stirred up. And at that point, that's when I knew that I had to remove myself from the situation. So I quit, and it was like a domino effect. I was the first one to stand up and say, hey, I don't want to have part of this. And once I quit, the other ones quit, and then we decided, you know, let's do this right. And then that's when I made this team. So, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. When you want to go in one direction and you're kind of stuck, so you have to kind of do your own thing and start your group, and you know, everybody in it's on the same page as far as where you want to go with it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, like, one thing was the old team that I was a part of. It wasn't about helping the client. It was about getting the numbers, like getting that next investigation under your belt. And we had a case that two children were affected really, really bad. And I spent hours and hours and hours on the phone with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and she was on the phone with John Zaffis, and we were scheduling them to come down to help us. And the founder of the group was like, no, we're going to take the case on our own. And I was like, this is something out of our hands. We can't. I felt that we were not physically capable and mentally capable of handling what was going on. But I had to, there was nothing I could do, where the group that I belonged to was saying, well, no, because this is our case and we're not giving it away. But it's not giving it away, it's helping somebody. But there's certain people that just don't realize that. And there was, you know, a whole bunch of other factors, but, you know, another time, for, you know, but it's like, you know, it's these types of things that just, it opens up your eyes, and it's like, you know, I got into this for, you know, a certain reason. And like you said before at the beginning of the show, you know, this, like I bring him back to that photo, is there's someone who apparently, allegedly, we don't know, but is making money off of doing investigations and making that as a job, when we do this as a, it's like a full-time job to us that we don't get paid for, but it's just because we want to help somebody. And I did an event out in Ohio a year and a half ago or so, and someone had asked me, you know, one of the biggest reasons, like, you know, why do you continue to do what you do as a paranormal investigator? And it was, you know, it's so funny, because as much as people make fun of it, and like we joke around, is like the movie Ghostbusters, who are you going to call? When a family is being tortured or tormented by some entity that they have no control over, they can't call the police, they can't call the fire department, and if they do call the police, there's nothing they're going to do. And a lot of times they'll call the church, and the church is like, well, we need evidence. Well, exactly, but who are you going to call? So we are that last resort. So, you know what, we do this for free. We do it out of our own pockets. And like you said, you drove 6 hours twice for an investigation because you want to help people. And, you know, you have your own reasons, but it also ultimately comes down to that client.
Yeah, I tell clients all the time, because there's times when they call me within the first couple sentences of talking to them, they'll say, how much do you charge? And I'm like, nothing. Absolutely,
yeah,
nothing.
I went into, I guess somebody at my daughter's daycare was having problems. And I came in and she's like, I was telling somebody you could help them. And the first thing they ask is, do you charge? And she's like, do you charge? And I was like, no, you know? No.
And that's what people don't realize. People think, and we've gotten that before. We've gotten people that said, like, you know, we had one case out in the city, and this lady, she was a single mom living, you know, she was actually on disability, so she was living off of her disability check. And she had messaged us and emailed us asking, you know, for an investigation. And when we got there talking to her, she goes, I've wanted to email you guys for so long. She goes, but, and this is, you know, a few years ago, and she goes, and I thought that you guys charged. She goes, so I was trying to save money for me. I'm like, no, we don't charge. So, and, you know, it's things that a lot of people don't realize. So, you know, if you're a team
it's one thing if, like, somebody calls you and they're, you know, 1,000 miles away. Like, you know, you obviously can't go and help them. You know, you're going to find guidance through a local team near them that will help them, you know, but... You know, locally, I think that it is our job to help them out. This field is not about, it's not all about making money, you know? It just isn't, you know?
And that's like,
there are ways that you can set it up so your group can obviously make money, and I think that, you know, the groups should, when they rent out a location and have a ghost hunt to raise money for their group. I think that's important. That helps the group get equipment to help other people. But to actually charge people that need help.
Yeah, exactly.
Not good.
I
even if it is, even if it turns out it's not the house, it's nothing paranormal, it's the people. You're helping them.
A lot of times
exactly.
It's a peace of mind. It's, you know, a lot of times, like, we did an investigation, and the brother, we got an email from this gentleman. And he said, well, I'm trying to sell my sister's house. She committed suicide a few months ago. And there's activity around her house. And, you know, every time we have someone come in, something happens and no one wants to buy this house.
Uh-huh.
So can you investigate it? And it's kind of hard because it's very personal. So we actually did end up investigating. We did get evidence. And when we went there to do a reveal to him, he goes, listen, I don't honestly care if you guys got anything. He goes, I've brought numerous people to this house and the activity stopped. He goes, what happened was, when we first got there, there was something sentimental to him actually moved. And he said when we were at the location, he goes, I think it's just the, like, that she was happy that she was being acknowledged. And he said, he's like, listen, he goes, I think it was basically like her last goodbye or whatever. And he's like, I don't care about the evidence. He goes, but he goes, I just physically and mentally feel. He's like, emotionally, I know that she moved on. He goes, I don't care about whatever you guys got. I'm like, okay, and that's the biggest thing is the peace of mind. It's, you know, there's a lot of times where we'll do cases and there may be something there may not be. But if you can come up with something, and because a lot of people don't have that, and if, you know, if I were to go into your house and you say, well, you know, the door keeps opening in the middle of the night or the floor keeps creaking or this, that, and the other thing, I can probably debunk a lot of it, but if you came in my house, the same thing might happen. You know, we get so used to things in our house, and you know what? Sometimes it is spiritual. Sometimes there is an energy there, and, you know, it's that peace of mind that even if it there's nothing that we can do to get rid of it, at least the acknowledgement of, yes, we did find something, and the peace of mind that they're not crazy.
Right.
Yeah, and,
that is important.
Yeah.
You know, with dealing with clients, a lot of times the activity that's going on there is more of a result of what's going on in the family unit. And sometimes, you know, 9 times out of 10, we're counselors. And, you know, we have to counsel this family into changing their ways, you know, for not only to control the activity, but, you know, a lot of times it's involving their children. And, you know, if they don't want their children affected, they got to cut out some of the BS that they're doing. So,
yep.
You know, and to me, and I always said this, you know, there's no guarantee in what we do. And one thing that I always instill with my team, and we're not afraid to reach out when we're dealing with, like I said, I got these cases going on, but I'm not the only, my team's not the only one that are involved in it. I've called upon some of my friends in the field to help out. You know, I got one case that has 6 members of the family affected, and the 6 members of the family all live in different towns. And some of the towns, like one town's all the way over in El Paso, which is about a 14-hour drive for us. So in order to try to help, I'm reaching out to some of my psychic medium friends that can remote view and see if they can pick off anything that's in the home without us having to drive all the way over there. You know, and that's, you know, the ultimate goal is to help those clients. And like I said, I think more and more people, you know, like you said earlier, teams that don't want to reach out, you know, when they know that whatever they're handling, whatever case they're doing is above them as far as knowledge, that, you know, at that point you got to say, hey, I don't have enough knowledge to help these clients. I got to call upon somebody that possibly does. And even then it's not a guarantee. So you can't even put a price on that. I mean, how can you guarantee that you can get rid of something? You can't,
because
exactly. It's a crapshoot every time we try to help a client.
And that's actually something that's good that you bring up. We investigated a residence right outside of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. It's about a 5-hour drive for us. And a local team, we were talking to them, and one of their friends' teams got a case request for a house investigation, and they went into the house. They have, like, the forms, the case management forms that they have, you know, the client fill out. And they actually did get evidence. So they did a reveal and played the evidence that they had. And what ended up happening was the wife was now terrified to be in the house by herself. She wouldn't be in the house by herself because now this team said that her house was, quote-unquote, haunted. So they turned around and tried suing the paranormal team. Because now they felt that they had to move. And, I mean, it ended up getting dismissed. And the founder of the team was like, listen, you called us in there. And I'm telling you, you know, from what we gathered, it is the best of my knowledge that there is something here. I cannot 100%. This field is not scientifically proven. So So until scientists can say, listen, this is how, you know, yada, 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 we can't physically say, yes, your house is haunted. Yes, I 100% found something. We can do the best we can, and, you know, from what we know, what this thing is we're not going to know 100% because we physically can't see this thing and, you know, fully interact. So it's that's one thing. It's like, you know, you can't charge people for something and you can't promise that, you know, it's 100% gone because how do we know?
Right.
But we just do our best.
Oh, exactly. You know, and, you know, when clients are scared and, oh, man, they're freaking out on the phone. And then when you go over there and you try to explain to them, look, I can't wave a magic wand. I don't have magic dust that whatever I do, I can make whatever's here go at that instant. I can give you tools. I can give you different things that you can try. We'll try some things as well. And they might work. They might not. You know, it's what the ultimate thing that people in science didn't even have to prove this. We know this as people in the field. When you're dealing with the spirit world, whether or not you're dealing with an inhuman or human, if it's a human spirit, we deal with human beings every day in our real lives. Every human is different. Some are stubborn. Some are asses. You know, you're dealing with a personality. And depending on the personality of whatever spirit is there, it's a different case every time you go in, you know?
Yep. And that's, you know, if like you said, like, if, you know, if they were an ass in this life, they're most likely going to be an ass in the next life. And if they're nice now, it's probably what you're going to do with that. It's, I mean, we've all dealt with, you know, the pain, quote unquote, spirits, and we've dealt with, you know, things that, you know, are just a residual or, you know, even if it isn't intelligent, that it was a positive, you know, but, you know, we learn how to decipher, and that's the thing, like you said, is we deal with that on a daily basis in real life, so, and we get to deal with it on a daily basis after life, too.
I'd rather be around a spirit a lot of the times than some of the people that are actually alive around there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, just like Jody, you know, she throws a shock factor in when these spirits, especially the asshole one, because Jody, you know, she called them out, you know. You're being an ass, so why don't you do something? You know, that kind of thing when she goes to a, you know, not a residential, but just an actual location. And she gets results because so many spirits, especially if they're male, and a lot of times they are, aren't they, Jody? And you call them out, and they're not used to a woman talking to them like that.
Uh-uh. No, they're not used to that. That's why I do it, you know, because I know that if I treat them like a piece of shit, women didn't treat them like that during their time, probably. They probably feared them. So it's going to piss them off, which you'll get some good results. But I wouldn't do that in, like, a client's house, like, when helping somebody, you know. And locations that I go to always know that I'm kind of a bad girl. Yeah. We work it out beforehand. Oh,
now, what are some of the locations that you've been able to go to that have you've had some really cool experiences, or some you know it's one of those locations when you leave going, man, that place was crazy haunted.
There's definitely three locations that come to mind right off the bat. One of them is actually an urban legend, which is here on Long Island. I did an episode of My Ghost Story on it, Mount Misery Road. And, you know, there's a lot of urban legends, and there's a lot of truth to some of that. But you know, the truth is it's a road, Mount Misery, right off of Sweet Hollow Road, and there's a huge parcel of land that's just woods. And the woods have all these different trails, and they're horse trails. And, I mean, they're absolutely gorgeous during the daytime. But at night, the darkness and the night light just the darkness swallows you whole. And, I mean, we've all gone to locations and you feel like something's there. This, I would say, was the one location that I know that something is there. And you can feel it watching you. For the episode that we shot, My Ghost Story, they played some of the audio evidence that we had gotten from there, which was a full Class A EVP that you heard that came actually through our walkies. Our walkies were silent. They went to static and came through as, help me, we're burning, I'm burning, remember the woman. And as soon as the team had got to the location, there's like a fire hydrant in the middle of the woods, and you heard, and then it was just all like, help me, remember the woman, I'm burning, help me, I'm burning, I'm burning, I'm burning. And
wow.
I mean, people had said that there was a hospital in the woods that had burned down, that, you know, a patient had set fire to the location, to the hospital. After that, we did a ton of research, and I can't find anything that says that there was ever a hospital there, so it might just be a miss. But we've got stuff on the equipment, too, and, you know, it was that point of the investigation on a separate night where you just kind of have the feeling like you should stop going into the woods. And we had numerous pieces of equipment, and on command, we were asking EVP questions, and we would focus on a different piece of equipment just to see if it was really happening or if it was some type of interference. And, you know, one of the questions is, you know, should we go any further? And it's twice for yes, once for no. We got, no, you shouldn't go any further. And then, would it be dangerous for us to go that way? And then we got yes. And I'm just like, all right, you know what? Out of respect, you know, thanks. You know, my safety is important, this, that, and the other thing. But that place was, I mean, crazy. And then I would say Burlington Prison, Mount Holly, New Jersey, was a prison. Now it's run by the state. And I actually did an overnight investigation there and was in solitary confinement. And it's a museum. So now when you look at the walls, there's plexiglass over the walls. And everything that's written on those walls were written by prisoners. So there's pencil, there's pen, there's blood, there's feces with writings on the wall. And I'm in this solitary confinement. I have a DVR camera on me. And since it's a museum now, there's a mannequin next to me in this thing. It's black. It's pitch black. There's a little window at the top of the room, which is basically, it's a brick missing that has, like, you know, glass or bars or whatever in it. So there's very, 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 very minimal light in there. And there's a lot of, like, scratches on the walls, and people carve stuff. And I found this little piece of metal. I actually moved my hand. I was sitting on the floor, and I moved my hand. There was a piece of metal there. So in the corner where the floor meets the wall in that crease, I took the metal and just lightly, just to make a sound. And I was like, I know why you're here. I'm in for the same thing. I get hanged at sunrise. And I had my eyes closed, and automatically I started getting these weird flashbacks. And I felt this like pressure on my chest, and I could physically see. It was like an old movie playing. Like the images were just skipping, and I saw, it was two different scenes of different men that were there, and I felt their emotions, and I got completely, like, enraged. I was so angry. And then the next one, I was, like, physically so sad, and I felt like, I'm not here, this isn't, I didn't do this, and that nobody's believing me. And I'm seeing this movie play out with my eyes closed, and not realizing my body's being tugged on. And I opened my eyes, and my team is trying to pull me up. And they're like, we've been calling you. My shirt is completely drenched in sweat. And it was cold there. It was November. And the police really doesn't have good heat. So I was completely drenched, and I had no energy whatsoever. So it took a few, I believe it was like 3 or 4 investigators, pulled me up. And I was just like washing my face off. And we had a psychic medium in the group. And he goes, I know what you saw, and you didn't protect yourself. He goes, that's why you're drained. He goes, they use your energy to manifest images for you to feel and to see. So that place is unbelievable. And then we ended up going there a year later. And I was like, let me try that again. And I protected myself. And I sit down and I swear on everything that is holy. I move my hand along the floor, nothing in my hand, and the same piece of metal was there that I used a year prior. And I'm like, what is, I don't even know what this is. Like, but it was just like, looked like a piece of garbage on the floor. But, and then that night I felt like, it felt like a bubble that people were trying to push in, but I kept thinking of that protection, you know, and St. Michael, and just trying to know you cannot get into my energy, and just, you know, so that, I mean, it was unbelievable. So that was something that I'll never forget. And it's like, that was one of the biggest personal experiences I've ever had in my life. And I'll never forget that.
So, oh, yeah.
But and then the Shanley Hotel, which is upstate New York in Napa, with Sal's the owner. I had an experience there in the Bordello. Two apparitions appeared of two females, but you couldn't tell facial appearances or anything. It was a solid glowing white light out of one and a solid like lime green light. And they were there for a few seconds and then just basically like exploded in the room. And I have no idea, and I can't explain it. I've never seen anything like that. And he's gotten claims that people saw similar things to that as well in that room. So,
yeah, you know, we did our first annual conference last year, and one of the locations was a hotel that was built in 1898. And five different presidents stayed there. There's actually a presidential section in the hotel, which was kind of funny because there's a third floor. That was on the second floor. But on the presidential wing that can be locked off from the rest of the hotel, there's an actual back staircase, like a little servant staircase that goes up to the third floor. Well, we find out that the third floor was a working bordello. So I thought it was kind of convenient that the staircase to access the bordello was in the presidential wing. But we went up there. There was a girl there with the local newspaper, and she had gone to something prior to the investigation, and she was dressed up in a dress, you know, looking all nice. And I wasn't up there at the time, but she come running out of the building. I was outside, and, you know, she was pale white. And I said, what's wrong? And she goes, oh, my God, I saw a woman in a dress, and she was clear, you know, just looked like an everyday person. And she told me to get out, but that was her place. So basically she saw one of the prostitutes, and the prostitute thought that she was a prostitute and told her to get out of her area.
So that's interesting. That's funny how you were saying how that in the presidential area of that hotel.
yeah, exactly. And you know, Theodore Roosevelt stayed there, and God, I can't even remember all the presidents' names, but some pretty prominent presidents had stayed there. And, in fact, Drew Barrymore's great-grandfather was actually shot out in the parking lot area. It was a bar out there at that point. And John Barrymore was his name. He was a famous actor at the time. He didn't get killed, but he actually crawled into the hotel lobby bleeding, and they got him to the hospital. But, yeah, that place is just crazy, and it was interesting that this person that's not on paranormal team has an experience with a full-body apparition that thinks that she, you know, being alive, was an actual prostitute, and that she was overstepping her boundaries with this spirit, you know, who apparently is still trying to work.
That's funny.
Now, are you one of the, you know, one of those guys that investigates, and do you have a preference on equipment that you use, or do you just go in light and use your body as your main piece of equipment, or do you like to try different pieces of technology?
I definitely like to try different pieces, especially like when we go out and investigate with the team. I'm normally the one who picks last what equipment I'm going to bring in, just because I like to change up all the time, and, you know, there's a lot of different things that, you know, that I like to try in. There's certain locations where I'll go a little bit heavier with equipment, and certain locations I'll go just pretty light and kind of use my own senses as well. Now, I'm not saying I'm a sensitive or a psychic medium or not, whatnot, but, you know, your intuition is your best tool. So, you know, a lot of times I might just go in just very light on, you know, something like that, but I'll just make sure that I have, you know, my audio or video or anything like that. But, I mean, favorite pieces of equipment, there's so many of them for different things. And one of the biggest things I just actually got into was we did an event in Lake George a few weeks ago at Fort William Henry. And I got a chance to sit down and talk to Bob Christopher from the Ghost Detectives. And he is also the creator of Vortex Ghost Gear. And, you know, he's got some really, really neat pieces of equipment that, you know, I got from him. And I use his with his geophone. And I also use what he created called the HTO, the Haunted Trigger Object, which it's actually been seen on Ghost Hunters. So, and it's you know, something that I love using at house investigations now, because it's a meter that lights up and has a like a sound device on it, so that you has an alligator clip, you plug it onto something metal, so you, for a control object. If there's a case where, you know, they say that they see a child, you put, you know, a child's toy or something like that on like a metal tray, and if it gets moved or static electricity, then the meter will go off. And it's cool because the lights are super, super bright. So even if I'm not going to be in the room, I put a DVR camera on it, and then I have the sound going as well, so I can still hear if something's going off, and I saw the video. But you know, if we're doing Urban Legends or something, try and stick a little bit
Urban
lighter.
Urban
Legends
are fun. Hmm? Urban Legends to me are fun. I've done a couple of those in my area, and there was one over in Illinois about some area where if you pull up your car and you just like leave it in neutral, it'll just start moving backwards. And if you put like flour on the front of the car, you'll get like white handprints from kids pushing it. So I actually went out there and the road's uneven.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things too.
You know, it's like
there's also a place in Texas, San Antonio Tracks, that they say people put powder on their cars. But a lot of people that I talked to that actually went there and tried it, I'm like, well, did you wash the car first? Because you put the baby powder on there, and the oil from your fingerprints are going to come through. So that's how you're going to see that. And the same thing with the ground. It's just that there's a small dip, and it just kind of like pushes your car up.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But I love Urban Legends. You know, it's something because, you know, you're out in the field like that. There's nobody that, you know, it's kind of like a break. It's like kind of like a vacation from the paranormal, being in the paranormal, because you're not in a house investigation, so you don't have to look for answers for a certain person or come up with a solution for something. You can kind of do your own thing a little bit more. And doing the research, too, you're learning so much. And that's one of the biggest things is that I love being in this field because, I mean, we've all gone to paranormal conferences or investigated places. The places that we get access to and that we get to check out, most of the general public will never, ever see. I mean, who can say that they got locked in a prison and voluntarily spent a night in solitary confinement? Or
you're right about that. I mean, you know, I've gotten into some incredible places I otherwise wouldn't have been able to get into, not having the experience and being able to say, I can come in and check it out. You know, I'd be more than happy to.
Exactly. It's especially if it's free ride, that's even better.
I did an urban legend of a demon dog once too, in my area, about 45 minutes from my house. And there was a lot of suicides on this little bridge, and there was a drug deal that went bad, and the guy, I guess, that was buying the drugs, he got crawled under his car, and he was getting shot, and car burnt down, but then there were like claims of these demon dogs there. So we went and, you know, did like EVP sessions, got nothing, but then there were like real dogs continuously barking while we were there. But it was like based around the demon dogs. It's like, oh, I think they're real.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, that was one of the things growing up. I know my, and of course this will show my age, which, oh well. But I remember being a senior in high school and, you know, me and a couple buddies, one of the guys goes, you know, I heard if you take a tape recorder and go out to a cemetery and you ask questions and leave a pause in between, that when you go back home and listen to it, you'll get answers. And, you know, I remember that. I was 18 years old, and we were doing that, you know. And we heard an urban legend out by where I'm from that a guy driving a motorcycle drove off the road into this ditch and died. And supposedly if you stand on the bridge at night after midnight, if you stand on that bridge, you can hear the motorcycle still running. Right, and so that's where it kind of started intriguing me on the urban legends and different things like that. You know, growing up as kids, we all probably tried the old Bloody Mary trick in the mirror to try to freak somebody out.
Oh
God. Yeah.
You know, Chris, does your team use the ghost box?
Actually, I had a conversation about that this past week, and we have not. I know a lot of teams that have had a lot of positive experience with it. We tried it once out in Ohio. We were investigating a town out there, and we tried, and it was like more frustrating than anything, and we had absolutely no luck. And the girl who owned it was like, I don't know why it's not working tonight. It always works for me. And when we tried everything, we were trying to be like so patient. It didn't work for us. I would revisit it. I'm not saying that I totally dismiss it, but I really don't have a formed opinion because the time I tried it, it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I didn't have any luck with mine, like, the first year. I thought it was the stupidest thing in the world. And then somewhere along the line, mine, like, oh, the gates of hell open. and it won't shut up. It's pretty crazy. It talks personal stuff to me, like family members that are living in detail. Yeah, and I'll make up videos and send them to them, and they're like, what the heck? I'm like, hey, ma'am, this is your message. I know they'll say, like, you know, in detail, like, crazy stuff. Yeah.
You know,
so I say don't give up on that, because I was a total non-believer. I was, 100%. Thought it was so stupid. So maybe get one for yourself and rig it up and just try it as another, like, just, you know, experimental.
Yeah, definitely.
Thing. Yeah.
Have you ever, Chris, have you ever heard Jody's, she captured one of the craziest pieces of evidence on a ghost box at an event. And it still, to this day, it boggles me. Yeah, there's different ways of trying to explain it away, but ultimately it's still pretty crazy.
Yeah, there's been a few times that, you know, I've seen it and heard that it worked. It's a lot of times, I mean, there's teams that I've investigated with, they're like, that's my favorite piece of equipment, that's you know, we always use it every single location. And I'm like, I'll try it. I have no problem trying it, especially because, like we stated before, it's, you know, what is right and what is, you know, it's not scientifically proven. We don't know exactly what works. So until we get to that piece or that point, you know, exhaust every other option before turning them anything down. So.
Yeah. Well, it's like Jody said, you know, when we got our SB7, it wouldn't shut up. And, you know, sometimes there's just a bunch of radio mess going on, and then there's other times where it's just talking constantly. And, I know for me, when we're at a conference and we're leading an investigation with a group of people from the public, we'll fire the thing up, you know, and a couple of my favorite things to do, because it wows people, is, you know, there's a random group of people, right? So I don't know these people's names, and I'll just randomly point at somebody and I'll say, who am I pointing at? And sure enough, their name will come through. And they're just like, holy crap, you know? And or I'll say, how many fingers am I holding up? And it'll tell you how many fingers are holding up. Yes, it could be a human influence. Don't know. You know, that's why we're doing more tests on it. But I still, to this day, when me and Martin, a buddy of mine that lives in Dallas, we did an experiment. And to this day, when we tell people this, you know, they're – and I told a lot of people in the field that have been in the field, you know, 20 years or even more, and they can't even figure it out. But there was one time where I told the team not to say anything on Facebook, no social media of where we're going, what we're doing. You know, we had an investigation, and I text my buddy and I said, look, when we get to the location, I'm going to text you. I want you to fire your ghost box up in your house at your home. And find out through the ghost box where we're at, what state, what town, and the name of the location we're at, and the name of the investigators there, right? So we're investigating. I tell him to fire it up, and probably about 15, 20 minutes later, he starts sending texts, and he goes, are you in Louisiana? And we were like, yes. And then a little bit later, are you in Shreveport? Yes. Are you at this location? Yes. He's getting all these answers from the ghost box.
While he's at home, he doesn't even know. That's interesting.
Yeah, and he did it from his house. And there's been times where we did another one where we were doing a live radio broadcast on my show on Sunday. We did a Saturday night broadcast, and we were 6 hours away from him. He was at his house. I had him on the show hosting with me, and we were investigating, and I told him to turn on a couple of pieces of his equipment, his mail meter, his K2, those kind of things, and just sit him there. And I asked the spirit in the location I was at. We were in Arkansas, and I asked the spirit to light up one of my devices, and it ended up lighting up one of his devices over at his house in Dallas.
Huh.
Yeah. So those kind of experiences still get my head just running with theories, with ideas of what in the hell is going on that side, you know? Because those kind of things, it's just odd.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's there's some things that we definitely just can't explain. And, I mean, it's always definitely interesting stories, and I kind of want to be there one. But,
We've done some different things with that ghost box. I still haven't done this, but I'm going to try doing this at some point, is get a hold of some of my friends in the field that also has the same exact ghost box that SB said, and if we're investigating, or both our teams are investigating different locations the same night, I want to fire our ghost boxes up together at the same time and see if we can get responses through the ghost box back and forth. Kind of like opening that door of communication to the spirit world, you know?
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see. I'm curious if that would work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. So what are some, what's on your bucket list? You know, we all have them. I know Jody does, too. You know, a bucket list of locations that you just, before you die, you got to go investigate.
One of them, Jody knows, Linda Vista.
I went to Linda Vista.
I know, I'm jealous.
Holy moly, can I just tell you, out of all the places I've ever been, that is the one place that I actually felt just pure awfulness in my space. And then something happened. It was a great moment.
I heard about that place a few years back, and then when I was flown out from Biochannel to film my ghost story, I'm like, this place is literally like 15 minutes from my hotel. I just have to stop there. And I got there, and they were filming some movie, so it was like security all over the place. And I was talking to the security guard, and he goes, yeah, he goes, I can't tell you what movie we're filming here. He goes, or who's in it. He goes, but... He's like, yeah, you can't get a property. But he let us go outside and take photos and everything, and he was telling us some personal stories that he had. And I'm just like, I want to get in here. I want to investigate this place.
Was that rich?
Definitely. Huh?
Was that rich?
No, I don't remember his name. It was like, if you're looking at the hospital, he's got, there's like a little shack or like a little building on the right-hand side, and the first
okay,
room,
I know
there was
about.
Two guys in there.
Okay.
But, one of them was, like, super down to earth, and we were outside talking, and he's like, go inside and talk to the other guy. He's like, he's got crazy stories. He goes, but he doesn't like people sometimes. So we walk in there, and the guy's, like, playing that he doesn't speak English, and he's like, no, no, no. I was like, I guess you don't want to tell us about the ghost. And he was like, eyes bugged out of his head, and he was just like, started watching television again. I was like, all right, I guess he's had some experiences. but I definitely would love to get in there one day.
That place is just so incredible.
I want to get in there. Another place is Trans-Allegheny.
I want to go there. That
would be fun. I've heard so many things about it, and I know teams that have gone there. And it's just, to me, I'm like, that place is just massive. And
the history alone, you know what I mean? And just to be able to, like, stand out in front and look at the enormousness of it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah. Like, they have an exterior building that housed Charles Manson for a while. And mm-hmm. one thing that what I thought was really interesting was years ago, the high school didn't have a large enough room for their prom. So what they did was they moved a lot of the patients to one side of the facility, and Trans-Allegheny housed one of the 1 year the school's prom. So I'm like, imagine being
wow.
in high school and having your prom at a psychiatric center that's still active.
Yeah.
So it's like, I was like, that's crazy. But
yeah.
That's
cool though.
Yeah. And then, you know, a lot of places overseas that I would love to go to, Vlad's Castle. I was talking to Jeff Belanger a few weeks ago, and him and Dave Freitas just got back from Romania, and that's a trip that I'm always like, one day, I'm going to go there, I want to escape. But those, I would say, are probably my top three. I had got a chance there up until about a year and a half ago, Bobby Mackey's was on that list, and I got to cross that one off the list. That was an awesome.
How did you
awesome
like
place.
That one?
I thought it was really cool. We didn't get to investigate too much. We were there. It was right after. We did an event in Ohio with a team called Paravisions. And then my team, John Brightman, with Vinny from Dark Side Inc., and then Aaron Houdini, drove down to Bobby Mackey's, and we put on an event there. And we did a little bit of investigating, but we were already on the road for like 6 days, so we ended up leaving at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And actually, that's one night that they apparently got some really cool stuff over the ghost box that I wasn't present for. But it was so cool because, you know, we always wanted to go to Bobby Mackey's, and two of the guys on my team are like just fascinated with the history there. And We got there, and Bobby Mackey walks in, and we're having a conversation with him. We go in his office. We're all hanging out in his office. And he's like, hey, you know what? I want to go play some songs on stage. He's like, why don't you guys come out? And right before he starts Johanna, he goes, I just want to dedicate this song to my new friends from Long Island. I started playing the song, so it was like, it just added to it more. I was like, oh, it's awesome here.
Yeah.
But it's definitely... That place
so how did you, like, feel there? Like, you were talking earlier about gut instinct, because I think that is the most powerful tool that we have to pay attention to. And, like, you know, what kind of feeling did you have there?
In the basement of the location, Bobby Mackey's, it's the upstairs is all finished where, like, the physical bar is and everything, and then they have a... like your room with like the bowl and everything, and then downstairs is all unfinished, and that's where they said that, you know, the changing room was the makeup room and everything. And if you guys ever watched the Ghost Adventures episode, like that,
mm-hmm.
Like that, like hole to hell, that's where that is, and it's
hell
down gate. Down there, down in that area, you feel. Like, every time you turn around, that there's going to be someone just standing there. And I didn't know if it was going to be, like, I felt like there were shadows, like, just kind of, like, bouncing back and forth behind me. But I kind of had a feeling, like, I don't know if it was just because, you know, your excitement, too, is going in your adrenaline, because you're just like, I can't believe I'm finally here.
Right.
But I just kind of felt like I was going to turn a corner. And not only just see, like, a shadow or something, but a full apparition. It didn't happen. But
so you just had the feeling of being watched.
Yes, I definitely had that feeling. And then I would say at the height of all of our senses, in the basement, the bartenders, they have a chute that they throw empty bottles down, and it goes, mm-hmm. like, 20 feet into a big barrel. So they dropped a liquor bottle down that chute, because it was empty, and all you hear is this huge bang right behind us. And, like, I turn around, I'm expecting to see something crazy. And I was like, oh, damn, it was just a liquor bottle. But it definitely scared the hell out of me. But I was there with four members of my team, and I felt kind of uneasy there, but I was the only one who didn't actually physically have an experience. the other three members of my team had something happen to them. One of them being a member, Ryan, was using the urinal in the bathroom, and he, because we always joke with each other, so he heard the door close and footsteps walk up behind him, and he thought that I was going to, like, push him or something like that. And he goes, "Chris," and he heard kind of like a groan, and he turns around, and there's absolutely no one in the bathroom. So he like, bolts out of the bathroom, and he looks, and I'm totally at the other end of the place, and he's like, "Did anyone walk in there?" And there was no toys in the basement, no, nothing else. But he goes, "You could hear, like, a heel-to-toe walk in the bathroom." And then he goes, and I said something. He's like, "I said, Chris," and he's like, "You heard, like, kind of like a groan." Then one of the other members, he felt someone put the hand on his shoulder as he was having a conversation. He thought that someone was standing behind him, just like resting their hand or their arm on his shoulders, like while he was talking. So he goes to finish, and he's like, "The weight is still on my shoulder." And then he, as he says that, he feels the hand come off. So it was just like,
now,
I mean,
you were
like
there
that.
With Vin and John Brightman.
Yes.
Oh my God! So was that fun?
Oh yeah. It's always a blast with them. We're doing an event. Huh?
I love those guys.
Yeah. The thing is, we did this event in Ohio, and our expectations and what we were told it was going to be was completely different than what it was. So we just kind of made the best of it because we're like, you know what? I live about 4.5 hours from them, 4 hours from them. They live in Massachusetts, all over Long Island. And we both drove out 13 hours to go to this event. And then we're just like, you know, let's go to Bob and Matthew's. Let's do, because Aaron Houdini was going to be doing an event there. She's like, "Why don't you guys come out?" Because we're all together. We were out there with
when
the brothers. And this was October of 2011.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty cool because we got to go out there and just, it was like hanging out, but we got to investigate, and it was just, and it's always a blessing with them. It really is. And
yeah,
I mean,
they're good people.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So every time we get to go and hang out with them, and it's always a blast. I was with them actually this past weekend in Rhode Island for an event. So.
Very cool.
Yeah, there's some cool places, and I got to get Jody down here to Texas sometime and take her to some cool places down here.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
I have never investigated in Texas.
Really? Yeah. There's so many people. It's amazing how, you know, the networking that actually as paranormal investigators that we do. And the amount of locations we get to learn about, and it's like, you know, it's like Kevin said before about, like, you know, the bucket list. Those are my top three, but there's probably 100 locations on my bucket list because every time I talk to someone, I hear about a new location. I'm just like, I have to do that.
Right?
I get to
it.
So there's always something coming up where I'm just like, I want it.
But then we get, like, such loyalty to certain locations, you just can't get enough. It's like, becomes your stomping ground, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. And it's cool.
So what is your, what would you say your stomping ground is?
I would say between Mount Misery, because there's another team that investigates there, but where I would say, like, the team that really goes out there the most, that does more of the research, and also Katie's Bar in Smithtown, Long Island, which was actually on My Ghost Story and season one of Paranormal State. It was an episode called Beer, Wine, and Spirits. And, you know, we're really good friends with the owner, Brian, and he'll call me up and be like, "Chris, we had more activity happening. Come down." We have the relationship where I can call him right now and get the keys to the bar and spend every single night of the week there. He has no problem with that. And
I
we
love
were there.
That.
Yeah, it's great because it's, the thing is he bought the bar, and when he was buying it, the person he bought it from was like, it's going to fail. It's never going to work. And everyone kept saying it's cursed. So he ended up contacting PRS, and they ended up coming out. And every time like Chip Coffee's in New York, he always makes a trek out there. And I was out there a little over a month ago it was in April, and with Chip Coffee and his agent Greta, and we're going to be doing an event there next month with him. So, you know, it's pretty cool because I would definitely consider that, you know, our stomping ground when Chip, you know, contacts us and says, listen, I'm doing an event. I want you guys there. And Brian said he only wants you guys there. So I guess that would constitute as it. But, I mean, there's so much history on Long Island.
Yeah.
John
Brightman and Vin always tell me about, you know, all the cool places that make it a show.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And if you get a chance, same thing, Kevin, as well. If you ever get to Massachusetts, over where, you know, where John Brightman and Vinny are, check out the Freetown Forest. He has a
the
book.
What?
The Freetown Forest. It's part of the Bridgewater Triangle. And John helped with a book that him and this one author wrote called Dark Gift. And the area of the Freetown Forest is incredibly active. John's grandfather, years ago, I believe it was in 76, these two boys ran out of the woods and flagged him down as he was driving. And they said, we found a body in the woods. And it was a missing middle school girl. I think she was middle school, tied to a tree. And she was tied so tight around her neck that she actually got decapitated. There were cult murders in the woods. The one cult leader got arrested, and they said, where are the missing bodies? Because there were prostitutes missing. And he goes, well, I can tell you where the head is. We played soccer with it for hours.
Oh.
Yeah, there's also a body of water there off of a cliff that was an Indian ceremonial area that actually the mob used to go there off of the cliff and dump bodies into the water. But for some reason, the water, after a certain degree, is so cold there that divers went there years ago and most of the bodies were still intact because they were frozen.
Oh, my God.
There's Indian ceremonial land there from the Wampanoag tribe. It's like one of those places where you can't just drive your car through the woods. It is the toughest terrain. We always rent vehicles. So last time we rented a Durango, we took his Hummer out there and we blew the four-wheel drive in it. So, yeah. But it's huge. Absolutely huge. There was a sort of like an underground cave that was discovered, and when people went in there, they found chairs, little kids' chairs with straps and like chains, so it was a children's torture chamber, just like tools spread around. So I mean, it is incredible amount of just. It's like everywhere you go, it's like, oh, let's go to this corner of the place. Let's go. And it's, I mean, huge. You can't investigate every single, you know, each one in a night. There's absolutely no way to cover it all. But, I mean, it's just, that's definitely a location that I've gotten a chance to investigate. And it was just incredible, the history and the stories. And it's not just urban legends. It's facts. It's a lot of these things really happen there. It's not just like fairy tales and you know it's a game of telephone. No, it's, you know, this really happens here. So that's one place if you guys ever get to check out the Freetown State Forest. It's incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
So
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many, I don't know, you know, when we were talking earlier, I'm such a history buff, and there's so many freaking places that I go that I'm just, you know, amazed at the history of the location. You know, I talked about that hotel earlier. The owner of it, started taking pictures from the 1800s if he couldn't find the original, say, a door, then he would take the pictures and have it recreated and made the way it was. And he put that hotel back together the way it looked when it opened in the late 1800s. So when we got that location for our conference, the people, including the teams that got to go in there, we were the very first people, because it's not open to the public. I mean, he had all the windows taped off, so you couldn't even look in to see what they were doing. So we got to see the hotel the way it was back in the late 1800s. So, you know, getting access to stuff like that is just, you know, crazy. That's just like, I got a friend in that same town. All I gotta do is call him, and he'll meet me up at the, he's got an 8-story hotel that was built back in the 40s, and it's vacant, and he'll come up there, he'll unlock the door for me and my team, and we'll go in, we'll lock behind us, and he leaves. And we can stay there all night, however long you want. All we got to do is turn the lights off and leave and lock the door, and that's it.
That's awesome. And it's cool that, you know, I love going to a location where they actually preserve the history, that they try and make it seem like, you know, it's period. And it's always cool because it's like we're stepping into history. And that's one thing that I love.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. You know, what do you got going on this year? You got any events coming up that you're going to be going to?
We have somebody on hold.
Oh, all right.
Do you want to check that?
Yeah, I'll check it.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Okay. I've been asking, couple people to call in. We'll see if that's who I ask. It's a surprise for you.
Sure.
A good one. Good one.
That's a listener just listening in.
Oh, that called in? Oh, we have.
Yeah.
Huh?
Because we're good. We're good like that, Jody. Yeah.
Well, that's strange. Okay.
No, some people do call in and they just want to listen because they get a better, they can listen a lot. It's a lot clearer when they actually call into the show. So.
Okay.
Basically for the year we had I did Ocean State Paracon this past weekend, which was hosted by Ken from Rise Up Paranormal. It was a charity event for muscular dystrophy. So we have that we just got back from Sunday night. We're going to be attending Paracon in Pennsylvania, and you know we're going to be doing our own traveling a few more times this year. But we really don't have much booked so far. We were going to do Syracuse again, but it's just so close with the Paracon. It's like a 2 weeks difference, but you know, with everyone's work schedules, it's kind of hard. So
yeah,
but this year,
I think that's the hardest thing in a group is like getting everybody, you know, pulling their money together and also having the time at the at the same time.
And it's one of our investigators, who grew up and lived on Long Island his whole life, actually just moved out to Hawaii. So it's like we lost one of our investigators because he just moved out to Hawaii. Another one of our investigators, 3 weeks, is getting married. So it's like
You know, it's like a lot of these things where it's going to, you know, time off, and it's so it just puts a little bit more on everybody else for the time being. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you guys will work it all out, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling one of my best investigators / case manager, she's pregnant and due in December, so. Yeah, we're having to make some adjustments when it gets closer to time because we know that we're not going to have her.
And she's a huge asset to your team.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, she can, you know, obviously not right off the bat, but at least kind of get into doing some more work from home then, at least once she's all settled in.
Oh, I can tell you for this, her attitude with the team and the field and her passion, she'll find a way to contribute somehow or another. She's that hard
to be ready to investigate a month after birth. She'll be like, I can't take it no more. Let's go. She will.
That's awesome. That's great that you have such dedicated people. It's hard to find the right people and the right people to fit with each other, and it really is like a blessing when you do. So
yeah,
makes life
right
so much easier.
That. We got another caller.
Oh, we do. I wasn't in front of the computer.
I'm watching.
I will be right back. So y'all two
you
talk.
You can just let this person on.
I got a screen.
All right, but I know who it is. Go ahead.
Guys, we have Laura Calhoun on the line.
He says, oh, shit, let me put you on. Hold on. Screen me? What do you mean you got a screen? Right? How y'all doing tonight?
Hello.
You doing good?
Yeah, can't complain.
Mm-hmm. Who's on?
Hey, are you going to ever have an event up in Rhode Island?
Huh?
Only if Chris Vickers is involved.
Yes. That's right.
Exactly.
Is he still on?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Hello, boo. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm tearing shit up. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I was trying to get in the chat before, but it was like, register if you want to go to the chat. I saw you guys chatting away, and I was like, I was trying to register, and it wouldn't let me do anything, so it's like, log in. I'm like, but I can't because you won't let me register. So I just decided to leave.
I completely understand. I'm not a great big fan of Blog Talk, but it is what it is. I was listening into your show a little earlier. I've been pulled in like three different directions since you guys started, but you guys were touching on the fact of people charging to do investigations, and that just makes me sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who does that? That's like going, well, I don't know how to build a computer, but go ahead, I'll charge you, and I might be able to fix it.
Exactly. There was actually a team, I remember probably about 2.5 years ago, I don't know if they're still around or not, it was, I think, like $600 for the first night of investigating, then $400 after that, and then to cleanse the home, and they'll give you a certificate that it's cleansed, and then the energy's gone, was like $3,000. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that's unbelievable, because people are paying. Because they think that this is the right thing to do, and the thing is, it's like they give that horrible name, and it's like,
you know,
really
that's,
like.
That's how desperate those people are to get things taken care of. That, you know, and they don't do their research, unfortunately. But
Can you imagine being that desperate that you spend your hard-earned money on something that doesn't need to be spent?
I know, and it's incredible, and you know, there's actually like one other thing that we were talking about before is test teams and the stepping stones which leads you to where you are now. That's another thing is we got a case request a few months back for a case that we're actively involved in. One local team that we're really good friends with had gotten a case request. So they started to contact the homeowner, but the homeowner had originally sent out, you know, like help messages to different groups. Well, the group that I used to be a part of took this case from that team and were like, we're going to do it. And they knew, and the homeowners actually didn't know, like they didn't realize that it was another group that contacted them back. And, we found out and the homeowner found out exactly what happened, that this group tried stealing a case, because what they do is it's more numbers for them, and what they'll do is they'll say at the end of the investigation, well, you know that we don't charge, but we do accept donations.
Hmm.
And it kind of puts the homeowner, it's, you know, it's one thing if they ask you, like, hey, listen, can I donate, you know, something to your, you know, can I give you, you know, but to sit there, and then it's basically like telling them that you want to charge them something, but without kind of going out and saying it. And it was like, that was one of the big things. And I'm like, listen, I'm not letting that happen. And so, but that's one of the hardest things is there's a lot of teams out there that they want to do it for numbers or for money. And, you know, all of us have many, many, many investigations under our belts. But when we go to investigate a case, we don't look at, well, I've investigated 200 cases. And no, we look at that case as every single case is unique, and it's every single case is different, no matter what. Yes, you're dealing with something that's not living, and that's what we do on a daily basis, but every single case, there's no case that's going to be, you know, exactly like the last one. So, you know, and I don't understand how people can charge for something like that. It just boggles my mind.
Well, that's people trying to take, you know, they're raping people financially, and they're thieves. That's what they are. They're thieves.
Yep. Well, you know, and two more things that I'll bring up without actually putting this particular team on blast yet, because that's why I got my buddy Matt and Dennis to try to get them on their show, because if I were to get them on this show with Jody and I or my other show, it would be bad real quick. And so I'm getting Matt and Dennis, who are more calm about it, and they're gonna, you know, try to hear out these people and see what they're about before putting them on blast. Which wouldn't happen with me because, number one, they're in the state of Texas, which that's where I'm from. So it really hits home. It hits home with the fact that they're in the same state that I am, and they could possibly be affecting people, you know, that call upon me, right? So that's number one. It really pulls at me. And two, if you really start reading about them and all this, their website and whatnot, they actually have an EVP school where you, being in the field or not in the field, you can pay $100 a day for them to teach you how to capture EVPs.
Yeah, I saw that. And it says you can learn how to capture, you know, X amount of EVPs in 2 minutes or something like that.
And I'm like, okay, I've been in the field long enough to know spirits don't function that way, and there's no guarantee that you can get 10 to 12 EVPs per minute or whatever, you know. There's no guarantee. Spirits operate on their time, not yours.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much shit these people have probably gotten?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and another sad thing about it, these people have been in the field for 15 years. It's not like somebody that just come out of the woodwork. They've been in the field for a good while.
Yeah, but they're just kind of now, like, you know, getting exposed where, you know, people are not happy.
Yeah.
And that's one thing is, you know, I don't want to, not a bashing spree, like you said, but there's a group that I had met up with. It was actually at an event, and they're from Kentucky, and they have on their truck Warriors of St. Michael, Ministers and Exorcists. It's just not TV, it's reality. And they don't charge, I don't believe, but they say that that they're sponsored by like Nike, Facebook, and A&E, and they're ministers and exorcists, and that they are warriors of Saint Michael, and they work for Saint Michael. And when I was talking to the guy, so I was like, oh, I gotta go discuss all that. He's done hundreds of demonic cases, apparently. And basically on a daily basis, he battles demons in people's houses. And I was just like, do you go to a house and just tell them they have a demon? Or, like, I don't understand how that works. And he was, you know, telling us, and I remember being outside with Christopher St. Booth, and he looks at the truck and goes, man, you are an effing joke. And the guy, like, looks at Chris, and he's, like, astonished. And Chris is like, how can you drive around with that? And I was just like, he's right. Like, and this guy just, you know, he's like, man, he's like, you guys just don't understand. And I'm like, no, I'm like, you're going to tell Christopher St. Booth, who's been in this field for how many years, that he doesn't understand? You know what I mean? Like, this is, it's interesting how, you know, what people do and what people say to get attention and to get cases.
Is this the same guy who paid $35.95 for his pastor's certification online?
No. That's close up.
Freaking douchebag.
Oh, my God.
What's funny is...
Hey, Jody, you asked me to come on.
I did.
What's funny is that one team, their phone number, it has, like, their area code, and then fantasy is what you dial. So I'm like, are you living a fantasy, or are you taking it seriously? Like, I don't understand what we're doing.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about people. If I was driving around with something, you know, advertisement for my team, my sponsor would be God. Sponsored by God.
Working for St. Michael's. Does St. Michael's give him a paycheck?
Exactly. That's why I'm like, really? Like, is St. Michael, like, you know, a real person to you? Like, do you guys hang out or what? Because, you know, I mean,
yeah.
I wear a medal of St. Michael, and I, you know, for protection, but I'm not his warrior for, you know, a daily exorcism.
Yeah.
You know, there's only one person in this field that is a warrior of God and who battles demons to better someone else's life, you know, who's having problems that I truly respect in this field, and that's Bill Bean. He is by far the most legitimate person that I've come across, except for, of course, like, you know, I guess Bishop James Long. I really have never had a chance to get to know him. I've heard a lot of great things about him, but I have no no education or educated answer to if anybody asks me, well, what about him? Because I don't know. I've never had the opportunity to get to know him. But as far as Bill Bean, if there's anybody who can battle the dark forces and has proven himself, and who doesn't sit there and call himself a demonologist or anything like that. There's no such thing as a demonologist, if you will. That's in my opinion. You know, there's people who study, you know, demonology. There's no school for it. There's no graduation. There's no diploma. Just like for investigators, we are people who investigate the unknown. There's no school for it. It just comes with experience. And for me, that's the only person that I can truly believe in and count on to date, as far as for people I've seen, heard, and spoke to others who he has absolutely helped, including myself. Actually, Jody can attest to that. He's actually had to call me and do a deliverance because my house was flipping out, you know, because of some things that other people were trying to put on us, you know, because of hatred and jealousy and envy and whatever else they may have, been feeling in their heart, and tried to send some dark crap our way that we had to take care of. And as soon as he was done, like, I'm talking like two sentences away from his preaching and prayers and, you know, doing his deliverance, I had a fax machine on my breakfast bar that flipped off and hit the ground, and there was no reason for it. It was not teetering off. It was securely up there. It had been up there for a couple of weeks. It was broken. And it flipped off and hit the ground, and I yelled, screamed in his ear, and he's like, hold on, and he finished up what he was doing, and once he was done, he asked me what happened. I told him, and he said that was it making its exit and telling you F you on the way out. That's basically what that was, and after he was done, I had no more problems.
Whoa.
No, you haven't.
Mm-hmm. Nope. I've had some other stuff happen, but it's the same little thing that's been happening for a couple of years now. It's my messy ghost, just likes to keep itself known. And, I could tell that it's the same one, but this other stuff that was in there was really dark, really, you know, not good, man. It was not good. and I haven't had any problems with it since, you know. And that's why I can honestly say that I do believe in his work, because I've witnessed it personally. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty damn cool, to be honest with you. You know, so
yeah. But before the show ends, because we can go in the archives, but KB, our listener, he wants to chime in on the conversation. So I'm going to put him on.
I think we have another caller on hold.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hey, KB.
Hello.
KB, you're on air.
Okay, how you doing, guys?
Hello, how are you?
Hey, we're doing great. I'll tell you what, you guys got an informative show. I agree with a lot of stuff y'all say on the show about some of the people out there that take people on a ride and take them for the money. You guys hit it right on the head. I got to take my hat off to you guys. Y'all got informative and a very good show.
Thank you.
Now, you guys have done a fantastic job.
I really appreciate that. And, you know, it's one of the things is, you know, the people who are doing the things for the right reasons, like you and I, everyone on the show is, you know, we have to just keep pushing forward and get, you know, once that negative's out of people who are just doing it for show or for ratings or for whatnot, they can do that. That's fine. But just don't, you know, like Kevin was saying before about this one gentleman in Texas, you know, it's like kind of like that famous saying, don't mess with Texas. Like, don't mess with Kevin, because, you know, that's like his stomping ground. That's his area. And if there's someone being affected, you know, let's do this legitimately. Let's be serious about this. Let's get them the help that they need, not someone who's going to charge, you know, $212 an hour and $1,000 for, you know, a proton pack fee. So
I'll tell you what, you know, you got people that will do that. And like I said, you guys do a fantastic show. I don't like to hear your airtime like that, but when it's time to push out the red carpet, you guys have a fantastic show. And I just want to put my input to that, and you guys keep nailing it. And like I said, I like to sit back and kind of listen to the show and enjoy it because, like I said, you guys are very entertaining. And, I just want you guys to know y'all are doing a fantastic job.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Have a great evening. Okay, you guys have a great one. All right, thank you. All right, bye-bye. Bye. And that's because I joined in on the conversation, you know that, right? No, I'm kidding. Of course, of course, it's always your fault, you know, that you bring this, like, happiness and joy to everybody.
Hey, you know what? The one thing that no one can ever mistake me for is a bullshit artist or being fake. I'll tell you if I like you, and I'll tell you if you annoy me. I'll tell you if I don't like you. It's all good.
I know. That's what I love about you.
And yeah, and that's what I love about you too, though, Jody, because, you know, and look at what I got here. I got Chris Vickers, Jody Park, both are under Resurrection Talent, my company, who I love and adore more than anything. And then we've got Kev right here, your partner, Jody, and he's mm-hmm. going to be coming yeah. out to my event in November in yeah. San Antonio. So
and
he's
is
like
he
going to
be speaking?
Yes, he is. He's by default Resurrection Talent.
Nice.
Yes.
This is just one great big Resurrection family. I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we actually talked about that today, and that's going to be a big thing, you know, at this event in particular at San Antonio, because there are a lot of people in the Texas area that unfortunately are not in it for the right reasons, and I'm having to be very careful who comes on and trying to get involved because it's got my name on it. It's got the name of the Black One and involved. And anybody who comes out to this event, they're going to get legitimate people in the field who have a passion for what we do, not for the money, not for the notoriety.
Exactly.
And to throw something else out there, because Laura knows what I'm talking about, I'm actually, per se, competing with some individuals the same weekend, not your event, but the month before in October, yeah, that decided to book it the same weekend as mine, who I booked mine last year, and now I'm having a competition, I guess you could say. Well, it's not about who you got, it's about the content of what we're doing, and if you want an educational good time and lots of fun and good people to be around, you'll come to my event.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate because I've seen that more than once, actually, people getting pissed off and not liking another group of people who are putting something excellent on and go, hey, let's just put a, you know, let's throw a wrench in their shit and put an event on the same weekend 10 miles away, you know. And that, to me, that is so wrong because when I book an event, I make sure that there's no other events around that area, you know, at least, you know, a week in advance difference, you know, and I make it completely different than what theirs was so that it, you know, people don't go, oh, well, I want to save up for the Resurrection event instead, and then I hear their shit later. I don't want to hear it. You know, so I make it different so that no one gets annoyed. And, you know, by the grace of God or the man upstairs or whoever, however you want to call him, you know, I haven't had that that problem yet as far as people trying to block me like that in the sense of trying to, you know, ruin things for my events. I've been pretty blessed in that aspect. So, and I guess it's because I show the same respect.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, Jody, right before we came on air, I had an individual that was trying to stir up drama between me and one of my friends in the field and trying to get them so pissed off at me that they drop out of my event and go to the other event. And my friend was smart enough to see through all that and actually contact me personally and find out the real truth. And so we got that squashed. Yeah, I've lost two speakers to that event. But that's all right. Next week I'll be able to announce my headliner, and my headliner will definitely put people in the location. Plus, I'm close to Louisiana and Arkansas, so I have other states I could pull from.
And they're like going to go, son of a bitch, I should have stayed. And it's okay. They'll know better next time.
That's right.
Yep.
So,
you know, but and yeah. To answer your question, Jody, as far as having an event in Rhode Island up where Chris is from, I have talked to Chris and to one of our mutual friends, which is Chris's best friend, about doing an event out there. But it's going to come in time because, you know, the place that we're looking at is always so booked that I'll have to probably book it a year in advance. So I'm working on things, that's for sure.
Good deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Laura and I are going to tear up San Antonio.
Oh, yeah.
I'm scared for y'all. You guys are going to get some trouble to have.
Don't be scared for us. Be scared for everybody else.
No. Yeah.
They're not going to know what hit them.
Right?
Yeah. No, this event's going to be something unbelievable. I mean, we're actually having a full-blown masquerade ball. This is going to be at the Black Swan Inn, Victoria's Black Swan Inn. And it's just going to be amazing. I mean, as it's unfolding, we're just like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so intense, you know. And I'm actually, Resurrection Town is actually the first to ever have a conference/event at the Black Swan Inn. They picked me, and that is such an honor, you know.
Yeah.
And they've denied so many people, and they just, and they talked with me, and we totally gel. And we get along, and we have the same ideas. We have the same, you know, whole vibe. And it's amazing. And for them to go, hey, would you do this? I'm like,
are people
going to
dress up?
Yep. We're having a costume contest, too, at the Masquerade Ball. There's going to be prizes.
Oh, my God. Am I going to be in it? Now I want to go. You know. Dress up. Uh-oh. I'm a woman, goddammit.
I was actually looking. I'm building my costume as we speak. Yes, ma'am. We're talking cleavage galore and big old billowy dresses.
Hell yeah.
People can you can charge people for motorboats. Oh my God, Jody!
For
it's
donation for charity.
That's kind of like a kissing booth.
Oh, my
God.
That's
my motorboat booth.
Oh,
no. No, I'm not doing a motorboat booth. Come on. Come on. All those people will be walking
Jody,
out of there broke.
Jody, you should come on down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely need to.
Yep. Well, we're in the archives now, so we're going to try to wrap things up.
All right.
And Chris, thanks so much for coming on. And I get a bonus, so I get to talk to you again Sunday
night.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Chris will be on Unknown Paranormal Radio this Sunday, so check him out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you guys again for asking me to come on the show. It was a blast, and just great to finally get to talk to you guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you, and hopefully we'll get to talk again soon.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm going to just have all y'all on my show. Let's just take this over to round two.
I know.
Well, thanks for letting me call in and jump into the mix here, you guys.
Thank you,
sure.
Laura.
You're
anytime,
welcome,
Laura.
Robin. All right, you guys have a great night.
You too. Have a good night, Laura.
Right, bye, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Chris, do you have any websites or anything like that? I don't know if he asked if you wanted to plug anything real quick.
Sure. For anyone who wants to check out our website, it's www.shadowsoftheparanormal.com. And on Facebook, facebook.com/shadowsoftheparanormal. And from there, you can check out, you know, everything that we're doing, place that we're investigating, keep you guys up to date with my photography and one of our investigators is a tattoo artist, so where she's going to be tattooing. So, you know, you guys can always come check us out there as well.
Nice.
Sweet. Cool,
thank
man.
You so thank much.
Thank you guys
yeah.
again. It was a blast, and I really did have an awesome time talking to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well,
we'll get to talk again on Sunday, Chris.
Yep. Sounds good, Kevin. Thank you guys again. Have a good night.
All right.
Have
a good
too.
Evening.
Hi. Bye.
All right. That was Chris Vickers, everyone. We always have good shows, Jody.
You know, and you get people like Laura on, and you get me talking about motorboats and shit like that. I mean,
well, it's just a prequel to the next 2 weeks, because next Tuesday
we're gonna get worse and worse.
Yeah, because next week we have your girl Megan, and so there's no telling where that conversation will go when you two girls get together. And then the following
yeah.
Tuesday we'll have Scott on, and we know that's going to be bad.
That's going to be really freaking bad.
Because if people haven't heard Scott has been... He's kind of like the paramour of Unknown Radio Network. He's been on Ghost Hunting Texas Style with Kevin and Justin. He's been on Into the Darkness with Brittany and Matt. And he's been on Full Spectrum Radio twice. So he's making his rounds. And
he stood
us
up. Completely stood us up.
Yeah. So I got on the horn with him and I said, hey, you got to come on. Getting you on the air with Jody Parks, yeah. Y'all are going to be, I probably will pee my pants at least twice during that show because y'all will be making me laugh so hard.
I think it's going to get nasty.
Well, you know, between
real
his,
nasty. I'll have to do some thinking about how I can shock them and if I could.
Well, you know, if you start between his full scrotum camera that he come up with that he would like to develop. And
shut up. I want to test it out.
Yeah, exactly. So you can ask him about the full scrotum camera, and then you can tell him about your panties that you're wanting.
Yes. Well, we're going to have Richard make me those. You know? I want that stuff to light up like a disco ball. You know?
and then to end the month, we're going to have all the crazy hosts of our shows on at the same time again.
Yeah. That's scary
because
it got out of control last time.
It's going to get worse. And I kind of feel bad for Chris Taylor and Amy Dawson. They're the hosts of Paranormal Access Radio. They're the newest members of the network. So they're going to get a shock factor.
Who's new?
Paranormal Access Radio. They've been on for about 2 months now. They air on Fridays.
Are they as crazy
Chris
as
Taylor.
Us or no, not really?
They got some interesting topics they talk about. They had a guy on a couple weeks ago that claims, but he doesn't actually say the word, but kind of lives a life like a vampire.
Okay.
So they got some things that pretty crazy. I mean, they did a heck of a job this last Friday. They spanked all of our asses in the archive listens. They had 401 archive listens.
Wow.
So they're doing something
nice.
Right over there. But yeah.
Yeah. Very nice.
Everybody on.
Well,
what's cool? Huh?
I'm going to pick the song tonight.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm excited. And so we're having Megan on next week.
Yes, ma'am. Your girl will be right here on Terrify.
I think it's gonna get pretty wild. Maybe I'll ask some of the other girls to call in as well.
Sure. And, you know, if you got any crazy EVPs off some of the videos that you and Megan have made, some of the films, you know, get them to me and I'll upload them and y'all can play some of that too.
All right,
well, we're going to call it tonight.
All right, here comes our song.
All right, good night.